What's in a name, I ask you today? Well, a big boost in sales, for one thing, is the answer, if marketers of probiotic yogurts and drinks are any guide at all. Have you heard about these probiotics? Well, what they are is really useful bacteria, and they can be digested through dairy products. They're a multi-billion dollar business globally. But the dairy farmer isn't responsible for ensuring their presence. That comes later when these probiotics are added to the process. And the benefits of probiotics are an increasing feature of the sales pitch for many products. I mean, what consumer wouldn't be impressed by the thought of Bifidus Prodigestus or Bifidus Actiregularis as part of your breakfast or packed into the kiddie's lunchbox? But it's those pseudo-scientific names that are misleading customers about product health benefits, according to Choice Magazine. And spokesperson Ingrid Joost joins us along with Catherine Sexelby, who is a nutritionist and food commentator. Catherine, Ingrid, good to have you both with us. Catherine, I might actually start with you, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
What are they? I mean, are they really good for us, these probiotics?
I think probiotics are pretty amazing, and they're not just any bacteria that you find in yogurt. They're not the lactobacillus or the acidophilus.
Oh, they're not those? Okay.
No, those are used to make yogurt, but these probiotics are really specialised strains of bacteria that are added during the yogurt process, usually at the end after the yogurt's been made. Now, the trick is these friendly bacteria have to stay alive, get into your gut and multiply there to do their good jobs. They have specific benefits for health, like stopping diarrhea, helping fight food allergy. There's even some research showing they might prevent stomach ulcers. They're quite amazing things. But they have to stay alive in the carrier food. So the yogurt is just an ideal carrier food for these friendly bacteria. And you know there's that little drink that you can get. It's
yes.
An Asian drink.
I've seen them. I've actually drunk them.
It's just a milky, dilute milky drink with sugar and a lime spice flavour, but it's just a carrier to keep the bacteria alive until it gets into your digestive system.
So, Catherine, these dairy products in which they're carried are literally providing some kind of food or sustenance for the bacteria?
Yes. Exactly. And often the yogurts also contain inulin, not insulin, but inulin, I-N-U-L-I-N, or some sort of fibre. And the friendly bacteria like to eat that. That's like fibre to our systems, but it's food for them. So that's why you'll often see that on the ingredient list. And I did a bit of homework for this and bought a couple of these yogurts yesterday. And
yeah.
Most of them have some added inulin on their list of ingredients.
And how are you feeling today, Catherine? Have you eaten some of this?
I did eat some last night, actually. And I feel pretty good.
So here's something else I want to know. Do we know enough about which probiotics do what to our systems to say this
yes.
is the one I should be procuring tomorrow?
No, this is the whole thing. It seems it's like vitamins. Vitamins all are good for us, but one vitamin will help our digestion, another vitamin will help us absorb calcium for our bones, and these friendly bacteria just like that. And I think if you and I talk in 10 years' time, we'll have a lot more research and we'll say, well, this particular probiotic is good for stopping diarrhea, like deli belly or toddler diarrhea. This particular bacteria is good for treating Crohn's disease and other inflammatory bowel disease. This particular bacteria is good for stopping bloating and flatulence. So I think you'll find there'll be particular friendly bacteria that do particular jobs. One won't do everything.
But we just don't know enough about the science yet to know which ones does what. Is that the problem?
I think so. And it's early days, but on the claims on this particular product I looked at, I went on their website. There were 17 studies. They had them listed there. And I think they were pretty well documented. And I've done some work with about 10 years ago on an early probiotic. They had 100 studies just on the one bacteria that was in that yogurt.
Right.
So it's going to come down as specific as that. The key is if you're taking them for a clinical benefit, you've got to have about 2 or 3 serves of these a day. Every day in
a
order
day.
For it to take effect. Yeah. Like one tub of yogurt every second day isn't going to do it.
Oh.
On this particular yogurt last night, it was 2 tubs of yogurt a day. On the one I worked with, it was 3 serves of yogurt a day. So you're having yogurt breakfast, lunch and dinner in order to get a clinical effect.
So if these bacteria don't last very long in the
gut.
They
don't. And that's the other thing. You've got to buy it fresh and you've got to buy it from a supermarket with a quick turnover. Get the yogurt back to your fridge as quickly as possible. possible and consume it by the use-by date.
Oh, gee, that's going to be a tough ask. Now, Ingrid, if I can say hello to you. Hello, how are you, Ingrid?
Hello, Michael. G'day.
And good to have you with us. Ingrid used to be in the ABC. I know Ingrid a little bit. Now, Ingrid, you're in Choice Magazine, and obviously Catherine Saxelby has outlined some of the obvious health benefits of these probiotics, but your concern, I think, lies with the marketing.
Yeah, it's really around the food labelling and the marketing of some of these products. As Catherine has pointed out, there are a number of different strains, and there is a variety of evidence to support certainly that these products can have some effect. And we're beginning to see some information coming through about different strains, perhaps working better for different ailments, and generally that different guts, because we all have many different types or mixes of microorganisms in our guts, specific to who we are as each individual.
But some guts, Ingrid, when I pick up a product and it says Bifidus Acti Regularis, it sounds Latin, it sounds like it's based on some kind of scientific nomenclature, but are you saying it's not?
Well, no, because that particular that name has been trademarked by the organisation, and in fact, a number of the yogurts that carry some of those sorts of names, Prodigestus, Active Regularis, are actually trademarked. They're created by the marketers. Our main issues with these probiotics, not in how they work, but actually the labelling and the health claims. We say that it's really important to have labelling that identifies the particular strain that is within that product, the type of strain of bacteria, and also the number of bacteria within that product.
Well, particularly if you need 2 to 3 tubs of this stuff within yogurt to actually get some benefit.
So under the Food Standards Code, fermented milk beverages, yogurts that claim to be a probiotic must have a minimum of 1 million colony-forming units of bacteria per gram. So 1 million colony-forming units. However, a number of the products that we have been looking at on the market do not have the number printed on their products as to how many bacteria there are in that particular product.
So are you saying the manufacturers are flouting regulation here?
Yeah, potentially. So they're misleading claims, potentially misleading claims on a number of these products. Additionally, and still work to be done in terms of the strain level, as I was getting to before, some guts work better for different strains. We're all different. There still needs to be more research. But we also say that the strain, looking for products that has the strain identified on the label, is also a really useful way for consumers to understand which product is going to be better for them. And look, as Catherine would full well know, any health claim is a massive marketing tool now for products, from cereals to muesli bars. It gives greater cachet to a product. And we say, and we've been campaigning for truth and accuracy in health claims and food labels for a long time now, that there should be pre-market assessment of these health claims. The product that Catherine was mentioning before, that Spruce 17 scientific studies, on its label, we went to look at those scientific studies. We could only find 13, and there were a number of those that were in vitro or animal studies. And we had to push through the website to a degree because it indicated that information was for health professionals only. So information.
So there's too much smoke and mirrors, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Here, isn't it? So when it comes to policing of this, though, Ingrid, I mean, Food Standards Australia, New Zealand, are they the watchdog on this or not?
Essentially, they are. You may have heard of the Blewett Food Labelling Review. It was handed down in January. It
made
61 recommendations. There are a number of recommendations that looked at standard for nutrition, health and related claims on food labels. And we certainly support, and we've been working closely with Fazance about the need to develop a robust standard for health claims that prevents consumers from being misled about the overall healthiness of products that make nutrition and health claims. Probiotics, they're a $28 billion industry projected by 2015, worldwide $28 billion industry and growing. So there really needs to be stronger regulations, pre-market
assessment
and
truth in advertising. So, for example, if I see on a label Bifidus Pro Digestus, my initial reaction is, oh, that's going to help me improve my digestion. If I see Acti Regularis, if I haven't been regular, I feel like if I eat this probiotic, I will be.
You're spot on, and because we see proliferation of these products, because that the health claims and those sorts of words, they sound scientific, they give the idea that this is going to help you be more regular or have greater digestion.
Yeah.
There needs to be a pre-market assessment and substantiation of those health claims, so that people know that what they're reading is actually what's in the product, and there is some science behind it.
My guest today, Ingrid Joost, who's a spokesperson from Choice Magazine, and nutritionist and food commentator Catherine Saxelby, and we're talking about not only the efficacy but also the marketing of this probiotic industry, which is contained within dairy foods and little drinks you can buy in supermarkets now. Catherine, when it comes to the benefits of probiotics, you've made a pretty strong case for it, but there's still more research to be done. What are some of the very key points we do know about the probiotics out there? What are some of the science results that are incontrovertible?
What we know is that in our own digestive tract, humans have about 500 species and subspecies of bacteria anyway.
It's a jungle in there, isn't it?
It is. In fact, some studies say, are we more bacteria or are we more really human cells? And doctors call this your gut flora. And to be honest, nutritionists have never paid too much attention to this now, but I think it's going to be one of those big hot issues in the next 10 years, shall we say. Now, some of the good bacteria in our guts that live normally and happily there, they actually make some of our vitamins, like they synthesize vitamin K, and some of them make a bit of folate. So they're already doing good things there. And it seems that when the balance of bacteria is upset, you know, if you have antibiotics which kill the probiotics, or stress or change of diet or infection or even radiotherapy and chemotherapy, that's when the balance is out, and that's when you might want to consider taking a yogurt with a probiotic.
Indeed. But so, in fact, we should be taking a good couple of tubs or maybe even three tubs just to get those gut flora back into balance.
Yeah, but I think once, if you're normal and healthy and not unwell, then I think one of these tubs of probiotics a couple of times a week is all you need for good general health. If you want a clinical effect where you want to see an improvement in your diarrhea or you've got a medical condition, then you need that higher dose I mentioned of 2 to 3 tubs a day or bottles a day. But diarrhea is probably the one that there's been a lot of the studies on, just from my reading, and I'm not a microbiologist. So if you've got gastroenteritis, you've got traveler's diarrhea, toddler diarrhea, there was a lot of work on that, especially in third world countries. That's where the probiotics did well.
And Catherine, on that savoury note, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Oh.
Of course, we run out of time. But thank you both very much. And no, that's all right, mate. My pleasure. Probiotics is what we've been talking about with not only Catherine Saxelby, but Ingrid Joost as well. And the benefits are there, but just don't always believe the hype, is what Ingrid's saying in terms of the names you see on those labels. But they do work. Thank you to the Bush Telegraph team for this week. Kieran, Kathy, Angie, Belinda, Claudette, Greg. We'll be back on Monday. I hope you can join us then. And we look at the book, The Cattle King. That's the book club on Monday with Michael Cathcart. My name's Michael McKenzie. I'll catch you soon. Bye for now.